We are in our final sermon for the Advent sermon series, and I want to personally thank Dr. Andrew Thompson for the gift of his book, which served as my inspiration in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to write the last 4 weeks' messages. Now, we know that the Bible, friends, is the book that tells us God's story with His people, and God wants to invite us into that story. And to help us see that invitation, we have looked at different persons and their participations, their situations, and or even their struggles to help us find our place in God's story. Now, we began by looking at the person of Mary. And instead of focusing on her purity, her innocence, her blind faith, if you will, we transition the narrative by asking ourselves if we, like Mary, have ever found ourselves in a situation beyond our control. And if so, we see from Mary's story that this is just one way God invites us into His story. Then we looked at the person of Joseph. And again, we did not focus on the character nor the faith of the man. Rather, we shifted the story by acknowledging Joseph's change of heart towards Mary. This allowed each of us to recognize that every time you and I are faced with a split-second decision, that this is yet another way God invites us into His story. And then last week, we looked at the life and the person of Elizabeth. And again, the rendering of her account was intentionally adapted from one fact or action to the realization that her life seemed to have missed its purpose due to the inability to contribute to the family lineage through children. So I asked how many of us as followers of Christ feel as if we have missed living our life's purpose. Elizabeth's life reminds us that if we are living faithfully, even in the routine things of life, we are living our life with purpose. A life's purpose that intertwines our story into the story of God through each simple, humble, faithful action. Now, for our last sermon today, we're going to look not at a person, rather, this Sunday, we are going to look at a group of people who are synonymous with the story of God. So I'm going to ask that you join me today as we read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And if you're writing this down for you to be able to view later, Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And Nathan, I'm going to ask that you place those verses on the screen for all of our viewing audience this morning. And I want to ask you, friends, to join me as we begin in verse 8 where it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the host, heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a prayer? Lord God, we come today after reading your word, asking that you illuminate your word into our hearts, into our minds, and into our souls. Minister to each of us, Lord. Help us to find your invitation of synchronizing our stories into your story, and your story into our stories. May your Holy Spirit speak through my humble efforts this morning, so that all may share in the joy and the hope of Christ. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen. You know, there's an animated movie put out by Disney that was based on a book written by Victor Hugo entitled The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And within that film, there was a young girl by the name of Esmeralda. And in the movie, she sings a song that is actually a prayer to God. It is called God Help the Outcast. And it begins like this. I don't know if you can hear me or even if you're there. I don't know if you would listen to a gypsy's prayer. Yes, I know I'm just an outcast. I shouldn't speak to you. Still, I see your face and wonder, were you once an outcast too? God help the outcast, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they do not find on earth. God help my people. We look to you still. God help the outcasts, or nobody will. While Esmeralda is a fictional character with a fictional prayer, the answer to such a prayer is not. And I believe we see God's answer to that type of prayer through His invitation that is extended to these people, this group of people we call the shepherds. And while this group, these shepherds, are non-fictional characters, we cannot overlook the symbolism that is associated with them. In fact, I like the way that Dr. Andrew Thompson describes them in his book when he writes, shepherds were rough customers. They were not exactly in the upper echelons of ancient Jewish society, he says. They were dirty, smelly, and uncouth. They spent their lives outdoors, sleeping under the stars with livestock. The fact that they spent their time with animals out in the fields rather than people, that put them quite literally on the outskirts of their communities. They were outcasts. You know, there's a reason, friends. God sent an angel to the shepherds that night. It was intentional. It was intentional because it reminds you and I this morning that even though we are outcasts, God extends His invitation of His love and His hope to each of us. And you may say, well, Michael, I'm not an outcast. Well, I want you to know, friends, no matter how good of a person you and I may be, the Holy Book tells us that our righteousness, void of Christ, are all as filthy rags. Now look, let me be very clear here. I am not wanting to turn this final sermon of Advent for us this morning into a hellfire and brimstone style sermon. But I do believe it is a necessity for me to say that because of our sinful nature, we are each estranged from God. Because God is holy, friends. God is pure. God is void of sin. And when we grasp the truth of this, then and only then do we begin to see what a gift the story of Christmas really is. God not only loves the outcast, friends, but he champions their cause. So you may be wondering now, by now anyway, how does the story of the shepherds invite you specifically into the story of God? And here's my response. Have you ever felt like an outcast? Have you ever felt as if you didn't belong? Because if you have or are, then friend, I want you to know that God right now is inviting you into His timeless, eternal story. And I don't say this as a person who does not understand what it feels like to be an outsider. Because every time I get moved as a United Methodist pastor to a new or different congregation, I am reminded of the reality that I am an outsider. It's been true everywhere I have ever served. Even here in Green Forest, I am reminded occasionally by people, sometimes directly and sometimes indirectly, that I'm an outsider. I don't know the history of this church. I don't know the history of this community. I don't know this. I don't know that. But the fact that I'm an outsider does not change or hinder the invitation from God for me to serve as an agent of His change, as His agent of change. I'm hoping everyone is hearing me clearly this morning. For the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, has a heart for all who tend not to fit in. The Christ child, Jesus, God incarnate, spent more time with the outcast than the very ones that the religious groups of His day were intentional about having nothing to do with. He spent more time with them than the religious accepted elites. So when you are feeling disenfranchised, unaccepted, like an outcast, you are in the physical, emotional, and spiritual state where God can work miracles in you and through you. You're in the perfect place in your life for you to be able to see God working, not only in your midst, but be maybe for the very first time in your life, be able to give God credit for what is going on in you, through you, and around you. And I say this with confidence, and you may wonder why. And I say, because look at the story of the shepherds. I mean, listen, friends, I truly believe that that group of individuals were not expecting their stories to forever be linked with the story of God. I'm sure they felt like many of us have or do feel that God would surely reveal Himself to someone of much more importance than them. I mean, why would He want to work through outcasts like you and I? People who have little influence or feel we can make no significant contributions to the world. Yet we see through this story how God loves to use those the world deems average or even below. For the God of the Christmas story, who came in the form of a baby, is the God who loves the outcasts. He loves us so much that He chose to be born as an outcast in a stable. And He even chose to die as an outcast for our salvation on a cross at Calvary, evident by His prayer that is words we can read from the 22nd Psalm that read like this: my God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, I want you to know the Christmas story, as redundant as it might be at times, is an exclamation point to a repeated theme, a repeated truth that is displayed throughout the Old and New Testaments. God has a long history of catering to the outcast, inviting them to be an intricate part of His story. So I want to leave you this morning by asking, one simple question. Friend, do you long to be a part of God's story? If so, the challenge will be to harness one's emotional reactions to life's ups and downs, to accept the failures with the successes, and through it all, see them for what they truly are. Invitations from God to make your story, and His story your story. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.